coming up on the Joyful Learning Pod.
But when I was younger and dealing with things, I would read, and I didn't know I was doing it at the time, right? I didn't know that I was reading about the 100-acre wood to feel better about something that happened, right? But my memory is that those are places of refuge and safety. This idea of like this 100-acre wood, you know, where these stuffed animals are alive, and it's beautiful and tranquil. Like reading that gave comfort, or the kind of edgy way of anything Sendak would write made me see the world as it sort of is, that it's fantastical and also a little edgy and untamed. All kinds of things are possible and happening right next to you or beside you, even if you don't see them, like the seen versus the unseen world. And poetry for me always taps into that unseen part and makes it real.
Welcome to episode 13, The Joy of Novels in Verse with Chris Barron. This is the last episode of our series for Novels in Verse, and we are very fortunate to wrap up this month of amazing conversations with award-winning author Chris Barron. He has written a few novels in verse for middle grade, and he is working on quite a few new things, all of which you will hear in the upcoming conversation with Chris. He also is a professor of English at San Diego City College and the director of the Writing Center. He grew up in New York City, but he completed his MFA in poetry in 1998 at San Diego State University, where he currently lives with his family. I also want to share that we had a little bit of technical difficulty with the recording, and I know that happens sometimes, and there was a very, very bad echo, and I still don't really understand why or how it happened, but the conversation was so amazing that we did our best to salvage everything that we could. And Chris was actually instrumental in making the episode much better sound quality. He actually reached out to a friend of his, Dan Herring, who is another middle grade author, and Dan wrote the book called Star Shepherd. He is also an animator and editor at Pixar and worked some magic with the recording that we had. So there is still a slight echo that you will hear, and there's some weird kind of in and out of voices every now and then. But overall, I think that the recording was definitely good enough, and we just had to share this conversation with you listeners because there's so many great things that Chris has to say. So with no further ado, I hope you enjoy this conversation with Chris. What brings us here today is Novels in Verse. I'm so excited and grateful that you said yes. So I would love to have you, Chris, tell all of us a little bit just about you as an author and as a person and about your books.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay. Just a few things. I've always been writing. I just actually found this book, which I've been sharing with students at school visits, called The Funny Lion. And I always frame it as an epic journey of a lion who bumps into a tree and is embarrassed, but the monkey friends help the lion feel better. And it's hand drawn. About, like I said, 5 pages tied together with yarn, and it's stick figure that I drew when I think I was 5 years old.
Oh my gosh.
And what I love about it is, like, I've always had this idea in my books, I think, in the stories I write, about empathy and like really strong platonic friendship between all kinds of people, regardless of who they are, that there's like a lot of healing and power in friendship and trust and vulnerability in particular. And I tend to write novels in verse because I think there's an opportunity to share those kind of intimate thoughts along with action and movement and speed. But so in my books, I think those are things that I really care about. It's like, how do human beings be there for each other? How do they express themselves the way they want to? And I think too, poetry offers that internal landscape of what goes on inside of us in a way that a lot of forms cannot. certainly writing is lyrical, but for me, I find poetry is like my native language. So I just like to write my books that way. The Magical Imperfect, you know, All of Me, both those were clearly verse novels in their inception. All of Me, you know, is you know, about a kid who teased and bullied his whole life about his weight. And it's about that summer where he tried, with the help of his friends, tries to make that change. And while there's a lot of action in the storyline, a lot of it is internal. And I think poetry reflects that. And so for me, when I write books, I'm trying to find that balance between the internal and the external, and poetry helps to guide that. And The Magical and Perfect, same way. You know, there was a lot of external action happening, but there was that kind of intimate struggle of these characters that I wanted to be able to express through poetry. And of course, in Magical and Perfect as well, that's all about the power of friendship, and that it's okay to be like all of who you are and yourself. And that's definitely true also of The Gray, my next book, which is not in verse, but you know, there's a lot of self-struggle, and I actually wrote a lot of The Gray in verse. So anyway, yeah, so that's a little bit about books.
I completely agree with how you described your characters in all three of your books, that friendship is at the core, and that's something that really comes through, really shines through. That was something that I connected with in all of your books. And I just, having very recently finished The Gray, which, like you said, is a prose book, but I'm very curious, how did you go from thinking you were going to do it in verse, or maybe you did it, maybe that's just your writing process, and then how did it end up in prose? Because is this your first prose middle grade novel?
Yeah, this is the first prose middle grade novel. Yeah, I mean, I think I had set out, you know, I was contracted. When I wrote the book initially and talked to my editor, it was going to be in prose.
Okay.
But in the process of writing it, working with my editor, you know, writing partners, I was having some struggles in drafting some of it, and because it's one of my most vulnerable books, I think. In some ways, very personal. And fantastical also. And so because I feel more confident writing in poetry, drafting, I did it that way. So I'd say it like this. I let myself be free enough to write in the process that was comfortable. And so there was like a bit of like translation from the poetic to the prosaic. And so in the drafting process, I mean, eventually I had an entire draft. You know, that was in prose, and I you know, certainly think about lyricism and poetic elements even in prose. I think most writers do, but it helped me to draft, you know.
That's cool, and I haven't heard that from a lot of other people, but I think that's a great strategy. And you know, but I wonder how we could even use that type of strategy and bring it into classrooms, because I'm always looking through my teacher brain, you know. And
yeah,
I know that writing is so hard. So many people, myself included, like writing is a struggle, but that seems like could be a possible strategy for those people who want to like the process but just have a hard time getting pen to paper. And I don't know, I think that's something that would be cool to explore a little more.
Absolutely.
When you are a teacher also, right? You're a professor,
right? Yeah, so I work as a professor, teach English and creative writing, and I have for a long time, and I think that's something that I talk a lot about with my students. And it's for me too, and I think for writers, is poetry is an exploration, right? It's a chance to explore the things we don't understand or experience in a way that other forms can't necessarily. Essays are wonderful, and they are thorough, and they provide evidence. Poetry is almost like more emotional exploration of occurrences, experiences, how we feel them. And that's why, you know, elements of poetry like figurative language are so important. Like if I ask my students, write about fear you have, how do you even start to write about fear without explaining what something that makes you fearful? And then it becomes this really powerful metaphor. You know, write about love, the oldest one in the book, right? Write about whatever it is, being fanciful, being joyful, like that kind of stuff is what poetry is made for. use that figurative language to translate those larger concepts, make them very specific. And that is so helpful to the writing process. I just, one quick example, I was teaching a critical thinking class, which is like an advanced composition for like, I don't know, college sophomores that, and they were really struggling, you know, to understand how they felt about a text. So they would read an article and they would all like fired up in reaction. And I said, how do you, so right now, write freely, you know, free write. Or write a poem about the, name the feeling you have, fear, anger, fire, whatever it is, and write a poem that explores that, you know, like a poem, but they did it, and it's a great way to pre-write.
Yeah, no, I love that idea. And I, again, this is April, when first time, and Poetry Month, and with a couple of the other guests that I've had a chance to talk to in the past couple of days, I've briefly kind of reflected on this idea that I don't see poetry regularly infused into curriculum, other than April, Poetry Month, and, you know, people pay more attention to it, a lot more emphasis. But I think there's so many natural places that it could be. That could be so helpful for, like you said, processing emotions. There's lots of big emotions in the world every day, all the time. Helping kids get started with like different types of writing, like that idea of pre-writing that you just said, I think is awesome. And you talk a little bit, there's an article that I referred to multiple times with people I've talked to that came out in School Library Journal, I think last year, or maybe 2020. No, it was March, actually almost exactly a year ago. And it was all about novels in verse, and you were featured in it. And it was funny because I organized all of my interviews and then we found this article and almost all of you are in this article. So the overlap was beautiful. Yeah, it was great. And you just, there's so many things that all of you have said about why novels in verse are so powerful. So I highly recommend that people go check that article out. But something that you said that I really, that I thought was really powerful, it said that poetry helped navigate and understand challenges that you faced growing up, such as bullying about body image and anti-Semitism. And then you also go on to say that early on, poets like Maurice Sendak, Gwendolyn Brooks, Shel Silverstein, A.A. Milne, and so many others just gave you an honest, whimsical hope. So talk just briefly about some of those inspirations from when you were younger, thinking about what you were going through and how that sort of resonated with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, I have a lot of memories. They're all flooding forward. I'll keep it very specific. You know, let's ask a writer if they have memories.
I'm still working on this interview thing. I'll get better, I promise.
Oh, no, it's an awesome question. It really is, because I have to refine it. I think that, you know, the idea of navigating difficult times through writing comes naturally out of a lot of reading. So I can't think of anyone who's just a writer who doesn't do any reading. I know some people read so much. I'm like in the middle. But when I was younger and dealing with things, I would read all of people mentioned, you know, in different ways, and would feel safe. Like I could go to the library, and I didn't know I was doing it at the time, right? I didn't know that I was reading about the Hundred Acre Wood to feel better about something that happened, right? But my memory is that those are places of refuge and safety. This idea of like this Hundred Acre Wood, you know, where these stuffed animals are alive, and it's beautiful and tranquil. Like reading that gave me comfort, or the kind of edgy way of anything Sendak would write. Made me see the world as it sort of is, that it's fantastical and also a little edgy and untamed. All kinds of things are possible and happening right next to you or beside you, even if you don't see them, like the seen versus the unseen world. And poetry for me always taps into that unseen part and makes it real. And so that's kind of exciting, like the feeling that there's something more, that there's something else, that even though I was bullied or I saw something hateful, that can't be right. That can't be the right thing. There has to be more than this. And then you settle into exploring what those things could be. And then you remember things like family or friendship or fun. And those other things are as not the only truth, but part of a difficult truth of everything. So I think like reading those writers, right, helped me to understand it. And then it made me want to emulate that. Later when I put it together, that I can also create some of this for myself.
You did a fabulous job coalescing, and wow, that
thank
I'm definitely gonna go back and like listen to some of that, and just there's so many golden lines. I collect golden lines, and just like, you know, grains. So, no, thank you. That was so well said that I know that our listeners are gonna stop recording and write it down. So I know that we've mentioned your forthcoming book, The Gray. No, it's not a novel verse, but because I have you on the line right now, I want to tell you and the listeners that book is so powerful. And your author's note at the end was probably one of the most, like, it just zapped me right to my heart when I read the author's note. And you had mentioned it is a very personal book. And I just want to thank you for writing it with like that. The gray is like this anxiety and this feeling and this anxiousness that assumes the main character throughout the story, and how he learns to sort of deal with it. But really, it's through the friendships that he makes when he goes away part of his summer and just meets these people, both people who kind of stink and are mean and like are dealing with their own things, and it's kind of coming out in those ways. But then, you know, the people that are misunderstood and have gone through some really, really hard things, and he is just open to like kind of, he helps people as much as he gets help, is how I kind of read the character.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate hearing that. Like any writer, any author, there's always a feeling of vulnerability. Like, here's my art, world. Do stuff with it, you know, and it's always exasperating no matter how many books you've written or who you are or what you're doing. So I really appreciate your words, and just even what you just said makes me feel like you really connected with the story, and that as an author is the best thing ever. And absolutely, it's a story about what it means to heal. Is sometimes that means you get involved in organic ways, like the main character finds the strength to help others when everyone's so focused on helping him. And that's a really big part of it. And, you know, I feel like this book is meant to be action-packed internally, externally. It's got so many different things going on. There's something for everyone. I feel like, you know, there's a lot about horses and the importance of connecting with animals that's in the book. And a lot of this book is true to life, things I've experienced, also fiction. You know, but there's, you know, an abandoned camp that's maybe haunted. There's all kinds of things going on in the story that I think will appeal. But this idea of the gray, I just want to say that is something many of us are living through now. Pandemic related. We've all been through something we cannot qualify or quantify yet. You know, we're trying to get back. We're trying to move forward at the same time. And it's really, you know, about the community you're in. And I think this book relates to that, not on purpose. I didn't think of it that way, but the more I'm hearing about people reading it, the more I'm making connections with that. Some of us deal with very severe anxiety. Some of us have traces of it, but this book really tries to explore in possible, like what our kids might be going through. So it's coming out in June, and I'm getting back to June 13th, and Buy Well and Friends, Millen, and anywhere books are sold, but preferably your favorite independent store.
Yes.
And I'm really excited to, you know, travel around and talk about the book, and connect with educators and students as people are willing and interested, because something that putting the book out there is sort of me in a way as an author saying, I'm ready to talk about this and I want to help.
Yeah, very, very beautifully said. It is going to resonate with a wide audience, is my prediction. So a couple more things before we wrap up, but are you working on anything now that you can share with us?
Yes. I have, let's see. I think that this sounds like a lot at once, but I'll just share them if it's okay.
Yes, please.
So I have three other book projects that I'm really excited about coming in August. I have a book with Rajani Laraka out called Secret of the Dragon Gems, which is so incredibly fun and different than anything Reggie and I have ever written. And that's coming out in August, and the cover will be out soon. And we're very excited. It's an epistolary novel with a kind of a sci-fi. It's fantasy. It's going to be really fun.
Very cool.
And we wrote that together and had some blast. And then the next novel I have is called Forest Heart, and it is a novel in verse. Comes out next year. And I really can't wait for this book to come out of the world. It's about some kids who experience really bad wildfires in California. And again, it's about, you know, trying to be okay when things are not okay, what it means to love nature, care about the environment, and live in a world of a climate that's changing. You know, and the story of kids coming together, and actually kids have a huge voice and huge part to play. So that's Forest Heart. That's next year. And the last thing I'll say is I'm also have the absolute privilege of editing anthology with Naomi Milner and Josh Lee, called On All Other Nights, which is 14 stories about Passover. Oh. And that's coming out late 24, like around Passover of 24. And so that's
Will you say really... the whole title again? It kind of cut out a little bit, but I want the whole title.
Sorry. It's called On All Other Nights. And it will have probably a subtitle soon. We're in the middle of the editing process of that, but it's got 14 unbelievable contributors that most people will know and love. And there are stories about steps of the Seder that are really fun. So I just feel very fortunate and busy.
I'm so happy. That just gives us all something to look forward to. and the last question I have for you is, I ask this of every guest that I am privileged enough to speak with in the Joyful Learning Podcast. So my question is, what is something in your life right now that is a lot of joy?
Oh my gosh. Okay, there's two answers.
Okay.
One is my family, because I love I'm very connected with my family, and I love seeing them grow up. And I now have two teenagers and a sixth grader. I have three kids. And just watching them trying things, failing at things, doing things. And my wife and I have a really fun time with that. And just what an absolute honor, right, to get to be a parent, part of it. It is super hard all the time, but very joyful. The other thing I want to say is we got chickens, and they are an incredible source of joy. Even though we've lost a few because they're chickens, farm life, hopeful farmer life, difficult. They're amazing, wonderful, and very joyful. I didn't realize that chickens had such personality. We know animals have so much life in them and their characters, but these chickens are real.
Well, that's exciting. I hope in the future you will expand your livestock as time goes on. And yes, Next time we talk, maybe you'll have added something new to your your hobby.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. It's always a joy to talk to you. And I really hope we get to see you in real life very soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's a wrap. What an amazing conversation, and what an amazing month. I just want to give one last shout out to all of the authors who took time to be on our podcast and share their writing and their lives with all of us. So Carrie Ann Holt, Rajani Laraka, Reem Farooqi, and of course, Chris Barron. And like Chris said, poetry is an exploration. And I hope all of you have had an opportunity and took some time this last month to explore some different poems and poets and reading and writing that maybe you haven't taken the chance to do before or the time. And if not, there's still time. Poetry isn't just for April, but I do hope that all of you had an opportunity to highlight it within whatever situation you find yourself. And a couple of things that I want to share for all of the listeners out there. Coming up on April 27th is the Poem in Your Pocket Day. So if you are not familiar with this, you can do a very quick search online to get more information and probably a lot of resources. One particular resource that I came across my Instagram feed this week is from a person who always posts amazing content, the Book Wrangler, and you can find him on Instagram, certainly, and also at his website, bookwrangler.com, and he always has a very, very rich wealth of information and free resources that he shares with educators and parents for all different sorts of topics. So definitely check that out. And something that I want to share in relation to Chris that he didn't talk about in our conversation, but since our conversation has been posting about it on social media, is he is starting a new blog, and you can sign up to receive updates on his blog, and it is called The Hopeful Farmer. And he did mention a little bit about his animals and what he finds joy from with the creation of that animal hobby farm and the work that he does with the animals. So you can check that out also. You can go to his website at chrisbarron.com, and he has a link for that blog that he has started. So I hope you also check that out. And his book, The Gray, which we briefly were able to discuss and I highly recommend, comes out on June 13th. So definitely mark your calendars for that. And last but not least, this last Saturday of April is Indie Bookstore Day. And I have always had the joy of participating in various ways. So take a look into that and visit at least one of your local independent bookstores this coming weekend. And who knows, maybe more. You could go on a whole book journey for the weekend and find a lot of great new books and meet probably a lot of other book loving people. So I hope you have a great rest of your week and tune in for our next episode coming on May 9th.